Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D, I want to welcome you into the studio on tonight, and I pray that tonight will be a blessing to each and every one of you. Thank you for joining me tonight. Tonight's show, you may have gotten a chance to see the advertisement. If you tuned in this past Tuesday, then tonight's show is a spinoff. Generally, I don't do that. Normally, the shows that are for woman to woman, I don't bring them on to Processing the Pain because there's two different audience base that's listening in on those particular nights. So I try not to combine them. But when I tell you last Tuesday's show was amazing and it was so fulfilling that I felt like I had to spin it out on tonight because it spoke some truths. And I want to speak to us about some things because a lot of us, we have aborted our dreams and our visions and our ideas. What you mean, Coach D? What do you mean abort? We have literally sabotaged, killed, assassinated our kingdom assignments. Something happened when we were a little kid, and we may have had dreams to become whatever. We could have had dreams to become a doctor or maybe dreams to become, for me, my dream when I was a little girl, I was going to be an actress, a singer. And I can remember the word spoken to me is, Denise, you can't sing. So that began to kill my dream. And many of you, just like me, have had dreams from the time you were little kids, and those dreams and those visions and those ideas of things that you wanted or things you desire to be, it could have been something as simple as helping people, and somebody hurt you, and you didn't want to help people any longer. And so we're going to talk about those things tonight. We're going to talk about those dreams that were aborted, and we're going to try to determine on tonight, why is dreams important? When you're connected to God, and so I'm going to talk. Now, there could be people listening in that are not saved, that are not believers, and that's okay because I believe tonight's show is going to have something for you as well. But I'm going to talk from a standpoint of a believer because when you're a believer and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you're part of the kingdom of God. And as you've been part of the kingdom of God, you will begin to understand and you know that there is a kingdom assignment on your life. From the time before you was born, there has been a predestined purpose assignment on your life. And so once tonight's show is over with, my goal is not to crucify you, it's not to condemn you, but my goal is to get you to think, maybe she has a point here. I want you to understand why those abandoned dreams, those aborted dreams, why it's so important that we don't allow our dreams to become abandoned or aborted. But because your dream is important to the kingdom of God, then you'll understand and you'll look at things differently. So when God is downloading into you dreams and visions and ideas, some of you may have wanted to start a business, but for whatever reason, maybe you didn't have enough money. Maybe your credit score was jacked up, and all of a sudden you let that dream go. You aborted it because you said, I can't imagine how this dream is going to happen. I don't have the resources. But I want to let you know that for every dream, especially when it's a God dream, I'm not talking about just foolish stuff you want to do because you want to do it, but I'm talking about those things that's been placed in your heart and you have a passion and you prayed on them and you know and you believe that God is the source of that vision, that dream, that idea, then for those dreams, we're going to talk tonight because I'm going to let you know that God-given dreams, visions, and ideas always come with provision. It always comes with resources. God is standing, and he's waiting for us to step into those things so that he can make those things happen for us. He put the right people, the right places, and the right things into place to help us fulfill the dreams, because if it is a God dream, then guess what? It's important to the kingdom of God. Your dream is not your dream, and your dream is not self-consumed. Oftentimes, you'll know when it's a God dream because it has nothing to do with you. It doesn't have anything to do with you having a big house, a big car, or you wanting to floss a lot of money and bling, bling, but it always has something to do with building the kingdom of God. It has something to do with helping others. It has something to do with caring for others. It has something to do with inspiring and encouraging others. So I want to get to the point. For me, MCD Network is one. You don't have to just have one dream, but one of my dreams right now that I never would imagine, even from a child, that I would ever have a broadcasting network. That was nowhere in my mind. But now that I have it, I know that this is one of my dreams. This is one of my passions. I have a passion to help people get past life's pains. I have a passion to see people delivered and whole from past hurts, whether it was hurt from the church, whether it was hurt from another person. You know, something happened in your life at an early age that hurt you and caused you to shut down. And so because of that, you haven't been able to open up and love again. Because of that, you may have decided, I'm not going to go to church. I don't want to go to church. Because of that, you may say, I'm never going to get married. Whatever that hurt and pain is, that's my passion, is to help you get past that so that you can walk in your promises. Amen. We talked last week about we talked about Moses, and we talked about anger. And last week, we seen how God is not pleased with our anger. And so when we begin to strike out at the rock, strike the rock, Moses strike the rock instead of speaking to it. And God said to him, he wasn't pleased. So Moses didn't get a chance to enter the promised land. And so we're striking that situation. I'm speaking to me today if I don't speak to nobody else. Anybody that's been following my show for the last 3 years know I'm transparent. And my transparency, I'm okay with it. Because oftentimes I'm striking out at situations and circumstances instead of speaking the word of God over. So instead of me not speaking the word of God, I strike out. I'm mad. I'm angry. I got to give a piece of my mind. And depending on what day and time, I may say a few choice words that I know are not pleasing. So I'm saying, he is not pleased with us striking out in situations. Amen. So we're going to get back to the subject. And I want you to, if you're listening in on tonight, I would suggest that you get you a pen and paper and take notes, because what I'm going to go over is going to be beneficial to you. There are 7 key points that I want to hit about our dreams, our God-given dreams, visions, and ideas. And I want to encourage and inspire you on tonight. Do not give up on those dreams, visions, and ideas. Do not quit. Do not abort them. Don't give up, and don't let other people sabotage them, because they're important. And I'm going to show to you why they're important, and I'm going to show it to you in 7 key points. And each of these points, I'm going to give you a supporting scripture so you'll know it ain't just Coach D giving you a piece of my mind, my thoughts, but I'm going to let you know that what I'm speaking is biblical and it's backed by scripture. And at any given time throughout the show, as we're speaking, feel free, if you have a question or comment or you need me to repeat something, dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let my team know that you have a question or comment or you need me to repeat something. It'll let us know. By you dialing 1, we'll bring you in and get that straightened out. Amen. So I just want you to know that that's an open door format. And please don't just sit there and think you got it, don't get it, and then you miss it. I want you to get it on tonight. I want you to leave off this call with a whole different perception about those desires and dreams that you've had. So first of all, let me just let you know that you're not the only one. Many people spend a lifetime chasing after dreams. We've all spent a lifetime chasing after dreams. Some of us wanted to be married and we didn't get married. Some of us wanted to be business owners and we're still chasing after trying to be an entrepreneur. And oftentimes we're led to a dead end road called emptiness with no accomplishment. Others never quite make their dreams and resign themselves. That's the abort. They abort it. You know, I just can't do it. It's impossible. Moses almost aborted his dream. God told Moses what he wanted Moses. He wanted Moses to lead his people. And because Moses wasn't an eloquent speaker, he couldn't speak well. So he didn't want to do it. He was a stutterer. And he said, God, I can't do this. I don't know how to speak. And God said, that's not a good enough excuse, because I'm going to send Aaron with you. I'm going to give you provision. but I want you to lead the people. Even though you are stuttering, you can't get it right, I want you to lead the people. So that he gave them provision for that. That tonight, when I go through these points, I'm going to use David. Now, there's a lot of people in the Bible I could use, but I'm going to break down David's life in the 7 points. You're going to get it. And if you know anything about the Word of God and you know about David, David was something else. David was something else. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He had all kind of character flaws going on. And yet, he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. And his cry was, Lord. He knew he blew it. I blow it all the time. And I've taken up the David prayer because I'll be blowing it. I say and do some things that I should not say and do. And sometimes I have to just cry before the Lord and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And that was David's prayer. And because David had a repentant spirit, he had a repentant heart, he found favor with God because he was willing to come back and say, I blew it. I messed up, Lord. I repent. And he was willing to turn away from that thing and get right with God. And that's what God is telling us in most places. So let's start with number one. Number one, God chooses you for this dream. And I'm going to repeat that. God chooses you for this dream. And the supporting scripture for this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. So as believers, we have the reassurance that God chose us for the dream. So that dream that you have deep in your heart, that thing that you've been dreaming and believing that it's going to manifest, know that God chose you for it. So he wouldn't have chose you if he didn't think that you were capable of doing it. David was minding his own business out with the sheep in the field. He was minding his own business. He was chosen to become the next king. He had no idea that this was a dream that God had for David. David didn't even know his dream yet. David was immediately filled with the Spirit of God with great power before this significant event. So I can only imagine that David's in the field, and he's probably daydreaming like we do. We're at work, we're out in the field, and we're daydreaming. And we start thinking about, oh, I could start this business, and oh, I could start that. And if only God would send me my wife, or if only God would send me my husband, I could imagine he'll be like this. He'll be a man of God. He'll serve the Lord. He'll do this. He'll love me. He'll protect me. He'll provide for me. So all these things, these are desires and dreams that many of us have while we're just in the field. And so I could imagine David was in the field having this desire. So David, I would not doubt at some point during that field experience that David probably didn't say, you know what, I think I could be the king. I could be the king. So he may have even started having desire that he believed that he could be the king. But it says David was oblivious to God's dream for him. So in this case, it says that he really didn't know. And so God knew that he was going to choose David for the king. Amen. So again, God chooses you for the dream. Keep that in mind. Write it down. Back up scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 4. Point two, God supernaturally gifts you with what you need for the dream. I'm going to repeat that. God supernaturally gifts you with what you need for the dream. So in other words, the supporting scripture is Proverbs chapter 18 through 16. A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. So if he gives you a dream, he's gifted you. He's gifted you for that dream. So you don't have to worry about your skill set. You don't have to worry about what you know and what you don't know, because it says here that he supernaturally gifts you for it. So you may have had a desire to start, I'm just going to say, for example, you may have had a desire to start a group home with youth. But you've never had no experience with youth, really, but that's just placed on your heart. You just feel this urge inside of you that that's what you want to do. But now the enemy will come up and say, well, you don't have no college education. You've never been trained. You don't know what you're doing. And he could go on with a list and stuff, because his whole purpose is to cause you to abort the God dream. His whole purpose is to cause you to give up and quit on what God already told you he wanted you to do. Because if he could get you to give up and quit, then he could get you to be in disobedient to God. Because when we quit our dreams and give up, we're saying in essence, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust that you could do what it is that you say you can do. And so that's why it's important that we don't abort our dreams. And it's important that we don't allow the enemy to play games with our minds that cause us to lay down and quit on our kingdom assignment. Because his whole job is to assassinate that assignment, to cause us to give up, to cause us to quit. Do you know how many dreams, visions, and ideas are sitting in the gravesite? Miles Monroe wrote a book about it. He said, look at all this talent. Look at all these skills and gifts and dreams and visions that's laying in the cemetery that was never fulfilled because the assignment was assassinated. The dream was aborted. So we want you to know that, one, God chooses you, so you was chosen for it, first and foremost. Second of all, he supernaturally gifts you with what you need for the dream. So everything you're going to need to make that happen, it may not in the natural look like, oops, in the natural my credit score is 300. In the natural I don't have transportation. In the natural, my money is funny. That's all in the natural, but it's a supernatural gifting that's taking place to make sure that your needs are provided. Because he says, I will meet all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So he's already telling you he's going to supply that need. Not only did David kill a lion, not only did David kill a bear with his own hands, but he took down Goliath with only a rock and a slingshot. And he became very famous. He became a leader in Israel, and he led thousands of men into battle. So I'm just kind of giving you a little history here because I want you to see some of our lives feel like David. He ended up marrying the king's daughter, and he was gifted for the dream. The Lord allowed a season of sensing great expectations from within and around him, so he was feeling good. It couldn't have got any better than that. He was feeling good. Things was happening for him. He was just doing great. So how many of us have started moving forward in the dream and the vision? We started moving forward. Things is going great. And then all of a sudden, the brakes begin to screech. So number three. God allows. Now check this out, because we always want to blame things on the enemy. One thing about Christian folks, we're always going around blaming the enemy for everything. It ain't always the enemy. It wasn't the enemy that led the children of Israel into the wilderness. God led them into the wilderness. It wasn't the enemy that led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. God did that. See, and those wilderness experiences are not good experiences. All of us have experienced wilderness experiences, and that's where you're at the bottom of the bottom, and you feel like you're alone, and you feel like there's nobody there. And let me let you know that that's not always the devil, because the devil don't lead people into the wilderness. Biblically, in the Bible, it was always God that led people into the wilderness. Why? So it says here, God allows trials to test your dream, and the supporting scripture is James chapter 1. Verse 3, James chapter 1, verse 3, and it says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. So he will allow you to go through some stuff in life. And what the problem is because most of the time when God is allowing us to go through stuff in life, we get like the children, like the children that was led into the wilderness that Moses led, they began to murmur and complain. They forgot that God had took them out of slavery. And even though he took them out of slavery and took them to the wilderness, he provided all their needs. But because they got focused on the desert, because they got focused on the heat, because they got focused on what they didn't get, I'm eating, but I'm not eating steak, so to say. Because they did all of this kind of stuff, that trip was probably only supposed to take them 40 days, and it turned into 40 years, and none of them, most of them, never even got a chance to see the promised land. What I'm saying to you is that a lot of times God has given you a dream, and because you got to go through some wilderness experience, and because you got to go through some hard times, you begin to murmur and complain. You begin to give up. You begin to quit instead of kick, and you don't never see the manifestation of that dream. In other words, you never make it into the promised land of that dream because you're murmuring and you're complaining and you get stuck and you're looking at your circumstances instead of looking at the God who brought you through your circumstances and can continue to take you through your circumstances. So we murmur and we complain and we cry and we gripe. And guess what? God hates murmuring and complaining because what it said to him is that we don't trust him. It's a diss to him. How many of you parents listening in on tonight, how many of you parents got kids that you provide for? You make sure that they have food and clothing and shelter. And it's like no matter what you do, they always feel like they got to have something better. They can't just be satisfied with the Payless shoes because they got to have the Nikes. And they always want something. They're never satisfied. How does that make you feel as a parent? You feel kind of irritated and frustrated because you start feeling unappreciative. You feel like they don't appreciate you. You feel like you're making sacrifices for nothing. Well, guess what? Our Father God feels the same way when we just don't be grateful for the things we have and we begin to murmur and complain. He's not pleased with that. And so we'll murmur and complain ourselves out of a dream, out of a vision, out of our own business, out of a great marriage. You know, we'll murmur and complain because we're looking at the circumstances. And so it wasn't long with David because now we know he did great things. He slew the giant. He got leverage and celebrity status in the kingdom. And it wasn't long after all of this that David was on the run for his life because King Saul became jealous and wanted to kill him. And so he found himself in a very short time yanked away from his brief, charmed life as possible king. He had to live with the responsibility. He had to live with the responsibility of priests being killed because of him. So he had people being killed because of him. His wife was given to another man. His family was displaced. He was living and sleeping in caves. It don't get no more wilderness than that. So he was running for his life. He was on the run for his life because the king, the very king that he loved, the very king that he looked up to, David, I think, and I don't know, the Bible don't say, but I would only imagine that David got haughty. He got positioned. God gave him favor. And maybe at some point he forgot that it was God that did it and not him himself. How many of us have God has done some things for us, and we forget that it was God that blessed us with this, or that it was God that took us through this, and we forget, and we start thinking it was by our own works. So David might have got a kind of haughty. You know, he got people talking in his ears. You know what? Saul ain't a better king. You could be a better king. And he started having his chest poked out. And God, this may have been God's way to humble him. Broke him down. He had to begin to run for his life because Saul was out to kill him. And so he's running. So this goes to show that just because you're going through a test, just because you're going through a trial does not mean that the dream that God gave you is not supposed to manifest, that it's not supposed to come forth. You may have to go through some things for the dream. I'm going to repeat that. You may have to go through some things for the dream. And just know that every attack, that every trial, that every tribulation is not always the devil, but it's for your perfecting of your faith, that you will lean to God and not to your own understanding, not to your own power, but that you will lean to God for your help as your source to navigate you through to get to where you need to be for this dream to manifest. Amen? So now we're going to go to number four. And number four says, God provides for you in the journey towards your dream. God provides for you in the journey towards your dream. And the supporting scripture is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21, which says, Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. I'm going to go back to David here because it says, you know, here David is running from his life. He's far away from the people he knows, from a home that's familiar to him. He couldn't stay because he had to be on the go. So he's not comfortable. He had to learn to navigate his way through treacherous territory, and the Lord always provided a place for David. So it wasn't, even though he was running for his life, even though there was times he had to sleep in caves, God always provided. God always made sure that he ate. God always made sure that he had a place, a safe place to lay his head. God provided him with food and provisions through Abigail, if you remember the story, his future wife, because he eventually ended up marrying Abigail. When Saul was close to capturing David, the Lord provided the distraction. So Saul was almost on David's tip, getting ready to snatch him up and just behead him. But the Lord made a provision, so Saul ended up in battle with the Philistines. God knows what we need and when we need it, and he is making a way towards our dreams. So he's making a way for those things to happen, even in the rough times. Even though you might have to fight your way through some stuff to get to where you're supposed to be, know that God is making a way for you. And it's about us learning to trust him. It is really about us learning to trust him. Because I could only imagine that if we really, truly trust, we say we do. Us as Christians say, oh, yeah, I trust the Lord. But do we really trust him? Do we really trust him? Because it's easy to trust him when we have food on the table, when we have shelter over our heads, when we have clothing. It's easy to trust him. It's easy to trust him when you're happy in your relationships. But will you trust him when things go awry? Would you trust him when that wilderness experience come about? Would you trust him when you lose your job and now you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay your bills? That's what he's saying. Will you really? You say you trust me, so let's see if you really trust me. Let me throw this out here and see how you're going to handle it. Are you going to murmur and complain like the children in the wilderness? Or are you going to trust me? Are you going to worship knowing that I'm going to bring you through this? Are you going to start thanking me in advance? Point number five, God gives you direction on how to go about your dream. Ooh, this is a good one. God gives you direction on how to go about your dream. The supporting scripture is Psalms chapter 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Psalms chapter 32, verse 8. So, how many of us believe that God gave us a dream and we just didn't know how to manifest that thing? We know what we believe. He told us that you was going to have this business. It was going to be successful. You were going to be able to leave a legacy for your kids. And he showed you, you know, you felt like he showed you what it looked like. But for some reason, you just couldn't birth the thing. You couldn't get it to manifest. And so you begin to get frustrated. And when we get frustrated, what do? We give up. We give up. We get frustrated. The dream don't manifest. But the problem is that most of the time what we find out is that we got so busy doing what we thought was necessary for the dream that we forgot to spend time with God. And if God is the dream maker, then wouldn't it be necessary for us, if we want the dream to manifest, to go to the dream maker to get instructions, to listen to direction? That means that you got to be willing to be still in the presence of God. You got to be willing to shut up and be still and let him downpour into you what that dream is supposed to look like. After all, he's the one who put it in you. Not your will, but his will be done. And a lot of times when God gives us a dream, a vision, we run with it because we want it to look like us. But it ain't our baby. It's God impregnating us, that thing inside of us. It's his dream. It's his vision. It was never about you. It was never about me, but it was about him for kingdom assignment. When he told you he wanted you to start a business, you made it about you. You made it about your success. But you never made it about him. And it was really about him because he wanted you to be successful. He wanted you to be successful for one purpose. And the purpose was for funding the kingdom of God, for helping the kingdom of God. But you got it about you. I want this, and I want to do this. He don't mind us having homes and cars. He don't mind us being successful and being able to experience some what we call some joys in life. But when we make it all about us, and it was never about us in the first place, most of you, if the truth be told, God gave you your job you got now. Whether it's a job or self-employment, a trade, God gave you that, and most of y'all won't even tithe. Most of you won't pay 10% of your earnings because you want them. The devil got you convinced that the pastor is spending your money to buy Rolls Royces. That ain't your business. Once you do what God told you to do as far as your tithes is concerned, what the pastor do with it is none of your business. That's between that pastor and God. Just like you tithing is between you and God. You're obedient to God. Don't have nothing to do with nobody else. Once that money released from your hand, you've done what you were supposed to do. So it ain't your money no way. So you worried about how somebody else gonna spend it, but it's not your money. It's God's money. And he gave you the resource to get the money in the first place. It's his money. He allowed you to spend his money the way you see fit, and all he's asking is for 10% of it. Amen. That's a whole nother show, so I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to stay on that long. So we're going to go down to number 6. And number 6 says, God confirms your dreams through other people. God confirms your dreams through other people. I'm going to stop right there, and then I'm going to go back. I want to give those the opportunity that's listening in on tonight. This is some really good nuggets. It's some stuff that makes you say, if you're listening in on tonight and you have a comment, something you want to add to the show, or you have a question, dial 1 on your dial pad. Again, that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we'll bring you in for that question or comment. I'm sure that there's been bullet points that has been hit that many of us could relate to, that we've dealt with. And I'm sure that these are things that's causing you to think, at least I think they are, because it's a blessing to me. If it don't bless you, it's definitely blessing me, and I am taking note. So we started with 6, and we said God confirms your dreams through other people, and the supporting scripture is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. So David received affirmation of his dream through many different people. Samuel, Jonathan, Saul's son, and Abigail all affirmed David would be the next king. Even when he was running for his life, many times the Lord would put people in our lives. How many times has the Lord put somebody in your life and it confirmed what God had already told you? Have you ever been in a grocery store and a stranger walked up to you and said something to you and it blew you away because you knew you didn't know this person, but they told you something about your life or told you something about something you were desiring and it freaked you out because you was like, whoa. That's a God experience. And a lot of times, most of us don't take heed to that. One of the things I often tell people, because, you know, in the body there's different offices. You know, you have your evangelists, your ministers, your teachers, your preachers, your pastors, your bishops, your prophets. You know, you got all these different things. And so I used, one of the things I truly believe, when somebody's prophesying in your life, they should never, at least for me, when somebody come and speak into my life, it should already confirm what God has showed me. It should already confirm some things that God has showed me or told me. And so God will confirm it. He will confirm it. If you have a dream and a desire and you know that's God, he'll confirm it through people. He'll confirm it through his word. The best place to always confirm if it's God's dream or yours is through the word of God. Get confirmation there to make sure that it is God. Because if it's God, then you could trust that he's going to make it come to pass. You just got to trust him no matter what it looked like. And we're getting down to point number 7. And point number 7 says God follows through with your dream in his timing. This right here is so, I know it's me. It may not be you all. You guys may just be super duper spiritual. That's not me. Patience. You hear patience is a virtue. My patience to be still long enough to see that thing manifest is the hardest thing for me, as I'm sure it was hard for Moses. That's probably why he striked out at the rock, because he didn't have patience. The rock wasn't manifesting the water quick enough. But this is it. Point number 7. This is where we get caught up. This is where we oftentimes miss the mark. And if we're not careful in that point, we'll miss seeing the promised land. We'll die in the wilderness. And just because you die in the wilderness, I'm not saying you're going to hell. Just because you die in the wilderness, I'm not saying that God forsakes you. Because he says in his word, New Testament, he would never leave us nor forsake us. But what I believe is this. God called us to live life and live life abundantly in him. And I believe when we're living mediocre lives, when we become couch potatoes, when we have no desire, there are 8 to 5, we just get up to go to work and come home, we're living just to pay bills, I do not believe that that's the life that God assigned to us. And when you're living a life and you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with loneliness and sadness, then I believe that's because oftentimes we haven't tapped into our passions. We haven't tapped into those God dreams for our lives. And when you're not fulfilling your kingdom assignment, then you're out of order. You're missing the mark. You're out of order. And I'm not saying out of order necessarily to say I'm not saying out of order to say you sin, but I can't even say that. Because when God has given us a dream and a vision and told us to do it, and we're not doing it, we're disobedient. And disobedience is sin. See, people always want to see sin, the big stuff, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, murder, all this other stuff. People see that as sin. But guess what? That's obvious sin. What about the stuff that's not obvious, like not doing what God told you to do, not being obedient, not following instructions that he's given you, aborting the dreams and the visions and the ideas, assassinating your kingdom assignment. See, because after everything that I've said on tonight, everything that I've talked about on tonight, If I had one point that I want to make to you on tonight is this. Your God dream is about kingdom assignment. It's not about you. It's not about your children. It's about kingdom assignment. It's about salvation. It's about building the kingdom. And when we miss that point, we get caught up in all kind of other stuff. And we get on this merry-go-round, and we're spinning around and around, and we feel like it's almost like, have you ever driven a car and got stuck in soft dirt, and the wheels is turning hard, but you ain't going nowhere? But when you're not in tune with God, when you're not in your kingdom assignment, when you're not doing what he's told you to do, that's what you are. You're that car in that soft dirt, and you're just spinning. You're spinning, but you're going nowhere fast. You don't have peace, because we can never have peace when we out of purpose. You'll never have peace when you out of purpose. So you got to get aligned vertically with the purpose maker, your creator, the one who created you. And you got to spend time with him, because you got to understand, what is it? What is your dream for my life, God? What is your desire, God, for my life? Where do you want me at in 2 years, 3 years, 10 years? Where do you want me at? Am I just supposed to be existing, or am I supposed to be living? Turning up on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, that's not living. That's just existing. You didn't fell into the agenda of the prince of this air. That's not living. God called us to live. We're of royal priesthood. And he's saying, I got some things that I want to manifest for you. They for the kingdom. But guess what? It's going to benefit you. Everyone you know in the Bible, David. David was on kingdom assignment when he killed Goliath. David was on kingdom assignment when he slew the giant. He was on kingdom assignment. What did he benefit from it? There's a lot of perks that come with being a king. There's a lot of power that come with being a king. That was his benefit from his obedience to the assignment. You got an assignment on you. Each one of you listening in on tonight have a God assignment. And if you're not careful, you're going to assassinate that assignment. If you're not careful, you're going to strike the rock instead of speaking to it. And the end result is you will not end up in the promised land. And again, when I say promised land, I'm not talking about heaven. Some people just living to go to heaven. And what do you mean by that, Coach D? Some people are just existing, and they doing just enough to try to make it into heaven. Nothing more, nothing less. I just want to make it to heaven. So they just sit there and wait for their day to come to check up out of here. And guess what? There's a story in the Bible that talks about that, because it talks about the man with the talent, the rich man that left talents behind, the three different men, and one man, he left one. And I'm not going to go in deep, but he left that one talent. And that man decided to bury it. He didn't want to multiply it. He didn't want to cause it to increase. He didn't want to bring no value to it. He didn't want to share it. He didn't want to do nothing. He just wanted to sit there and make it into heaven. And when the rich man came back, he asked each one of them, what did they do? And one man said, Master, I doubled it. The other one said, Master, I tripled it. And that one said, Master, I'm giving you back exactly what you gave me. I was too scared to do anything with it, because I didn't want to take a chance on losing it. I wanted to give you back what you gave me. And guess what? He ended up with nothing. He was cursed. Are you sitting there cursed? Because God, from the foundation of the earth, way before you were ever born, that he's given you talents and gifts for the kingdom of God. He's given you talents and gifts for the kingdom of God. What are you supposed to do in the kingdom of God? You only have one purpose on this earth, and one purpose only. And that's to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. How you do it is your gifts and talents and skills. And many of us are sitting on our gifts, talents, and skills, and we're not doing nothing for the kingdom of God. We ain't telling nobody nothing. We don't want to talk about religious things. Oh, well, don't talk about that, because I just want to do me. I just want to do me. That's it. Well, guess what? It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about him, the one who came and died and rose again for us. That's what it's about. And you don't have to be super duper spiritual. You don't have to be super religious. Because Jesus had an issue with the religious folks. They were called Pharisees. And he came to fulfill the law and let you know that it's only by his grace and his mercy. So I'm not. This show is not about being super duper religious or spiritual. This ain't even about that you got to go to church and get on the usher board or sing in the choir or any of that. Great if God put that on your heart to serve. But this is not what this is about. This is about your day-to-day life where God has told you on various occasions things he wanted you to do and you didn't listen. Procrastination is still disobedience. I'll do it tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. How many of us are sitting with these famous words, I shoulda, coulda, woulda? When you start speaking those words, you already know that you aborted the dream. Because when you abort the dream, at some point you got to come back and you got to look at that abortion, and you got to look at that dream that you let go. And then you start finding yourself, if you're not careful, using the I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Now, with all that being said, and we all know we've aborted dreams, we all know we wasn't obedient at times, we all know we didn't do what we're supposed to do, because some of us look at our lives now and say, if I only would have did back at 20 years ago what I should have did, then I'll be in a different position today. Well, I got good news for you. If you can, take a deep breath and release. Well, if you was able to do that, it's not too late. God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances. And you have another chance to get back in alignment with God and begin to dream again. You have another chance to be obedient. You have another chance to use your talents, your gifts, and your skills for kingdom purpose. You have another chance to move forward. You don't have to allow the pains of the past, the pricks of the wilderness experience to cause you not to dream again, to cause you to be angry, to cause you to be bitter, to cause you to not want to take a risk. You don't have to, because you serve a God. And he has cattle on 1,000 hills. All this belonged to him. He created it for his pleasure. So surely you think that he would have a problem ministering to and providing provision to you for the dream that he has for you? Absolutely not. It's already done. Now I'm going to let you in on something else, and then I'm going to close the show. Don't you know, and this is biblical, this is the word of God, don't you know it's already done? That's why he told you to pray, let it be done on earth as it already is in heaven. That means that it's already done. Your dream has already manifested in heaven. It's your job to manifest it, pull it down into the earth. Because he said, whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Where we bind on earth is bound in heaven. It's already done in heaven. And he just wants some people that will be obedient to the call and to the movement of what he tells you to do, so we can bring some of that stuff down here on this earth for kingdom purpose. It's already done. Just walk in the manifestation of. All he's telling you is to walk in the manifestation of the finished work. Walk in the manifestation of the finished work. That's all you have to do. He's doing everything else. Amen. So hopefully tonight's show and the 7 points that was brought forth was a blessing. I'm going to go over them real quick before I actually sign off. So for those of you who may have missed it, we spoke about the 7 key points of why you cannot or should not abort your God-given dreams. And the first one is, God chooses you for this dream. Number one, God chooses you for this dream. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Number two, God supernaturally gifts you with what you need for the dream. And that's Proverbs 18:16. Number three, God allows trials to test your dream. And that's James chapter 1, verse 3. Number four, God provides for you in the journey towards your dream. And that's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. Number five, God gives you direction on how to go about your dream. And that's Psalms chapter 32, verse 8. Number six, God confirms your dreams through other people. And that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. And lastly, number seven, God follows through with your dream in his timing. And that's Philippians 1:6 that tells us, being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God don't start no work that he can't finish. God doesn't start any work that he can't finish. It's you that assassinate the assignment. It's you that abort the dream, that cause that thing not to manifest. It's not God, because he's not going to start it in you and not finish it. And he's not a man that he should lie. So Philippians 1:6 is telling it all. Be confident of that, that what he started in you, that thing he put in you, that dream, that vision, that idea that he put in you, he put it in you because he know that he can that he can manifest it to the completion. And you just got to be confident and have faith that that's going to happen. Amen. So I want to thank each and every person who listened in on tonight's broadcast of Processing the Pain, Aborting the Dream. And I hope, again, that something was said that was a blessing to you on tonight. Feel free to tune in every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Woman to Woman, and every Thursday at 7 p.m. for Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Again, we pray that anything that goes forth out of any of our broadcasts can be a blessing to you and others, and we just want you to know that you are loved and appreciated. Thank you for your continued support, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you next week. Have a safe and happy, and enjoy your weekend.
Napa Know How.
Napa Guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are a mighty fortress of supreme knowledge. Progressive Direct has not only revealed their rates, but those of their competitors. If you were any more in the know, you would be drowning in, you know, the know.
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates, because knowledge is power. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.